parts of this song came on. And it says, while I wait, deep within my heart, I know you've won. I know you've overcome. And in the dark, when I'm undone, I still believe. I live by faith and not by sight. While I wait, I will worship. Yes. Lord, I'll worship your name. While I wait, I will trust you. Lord, I'll trust you all the same. You're faithful every day. Your promises remain. Though I don't understand it, I'll worship with my pain. You are God. You are worthy. You are with me all the way. So while I wait, I will worship. Though I don't have all the answers, still I trust you all the same. While I wait, I will worship you. And I just really sensed, and I was sharing with Jang this morning, that this is the time that if you're waiting on anything, if you're waiting on the presence of the Lord, if you're waiting on Him to answer your prayer, whatever you're waiting on, come and worship. Continue to worship. Step into worship this morning.
Short testimonies and in prophecy. I'm not limited to just one thing.
Short testimony. I went to the Shelby County Treatment Center the other day with one of my clients. Some of y'all know that I do field interview stuff. The guy came in. He was complaining about his back. I said, okay. And he kept talking. He looked at me and says, I may need you to pray for me later. I said, okay, I can do that. So he proceeds, and we're talking, you know, during the interview, and he gets up. I said, you still want me to pray for you? And he said, yeah. And again, y'all got to get, this is really cool. Really cool meaning, and I'll say it when I get done with the testimony. He stood up, and I laid hands on his chest, and immediately the virtue of the Holy Spirit came through my body. Felt like electricity. And, of course, I don't even remember what I said. It doesn't matter. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Amen? God was ministering this man. Okay, so, and then the anointing lift, and I lifted my hands off of him, and I looked at him, and I said, are you experiencing anything? And it looked as if he was about to fall. He was stunned. He was stunned, and he said, no, man, what a cool prayer. And just kind of, you know, and just kind of staggered out the door. Now, you can interpret that however you want to interpret that, but this is what the Holy Spirit told me. You never know what I'm going to do from one moment to the next. Mm. And you never know how I'm going to manifest it and how I'm going to continue to manifest it even way after we're finished. Amen? I'm going to speak for myself. Now, sometimes I get all caught up in the hoopla, I guess is what you'll call it. You're expecting certain things. We bring things to the table, okay? We bring preconceived ideas as to how these things are supposed to go. And when they don't, and I'm speaking from mine, it was kind of humorous to see him do it. But then the Holy Spirit said, you likewise. Just remember that I'm the one doing the work, and I'm the one to continue to do the work.
Amen. Last Sunday, my oldest sister, got sick during the night. I think it was like that Saturday night. They rushed her to Talladega Hospital, and she only had one kidney. About 15 years ago, they had to remove that because it was dead. But anyway, this one particular kidney, so she had gallstone. And anyway, one or two passed. So they had to rush us during the night, Sunday night. Monday morning, I was over at Brookwood. But anyway, they put whatever stick to try to open it so they could open up her, well, where she could urinate. But anyway, so her doctor, he came, that did her surgery, did this. But anyway, when he came in, when I came in the room, it was so amazing in her room. They was about to take her up, and all of a sudden, it, like the Spirit of God was just moving, and she was talking, and the doctor that was, the person that was preparing her for the surgery, for she didn't really have the surgery to get to work, to carry into the procedure room. But anyway, when she got in there, they did what they had to do and brought her out. And it was like all of my sisters, about seven or eight of us, came, was over there, and it was the Holy Spirit moved so radically in that place. When they brought her in, I was expecting her to kind of like be all droop and dry. She came in with her eyes open, and all the family members came in. It was so, the nurses and stuff started coming in, but the key part of this whole thing was the Holy Spirit did that work. And she just like, she was wide awake. She's just wide awake. We couldn't hardly get her settled down because she wanted to get up and walk. But anyway, so the nurses, and then all of a sudden this man, tall, dark skin, he wasn't really a dark skin, but he was a black man, came down the hall. When he came down the hall, he looked in, he said, oh, family, I want to be a part of this. He stepped inside of the door. It was just, and the doctor said she would probably have to stay 2 or 3 days. But that day she went through, when evening comes, she was ready to eat. She was ready. She kept trying to get up because she wanted. We said, you can't get up. You have to be still. But the key thing about it, when the Holy Spirit is present, everybody knows. And she was saying herself, because when we got ready to take her to service, she said, y'all know what you got to do. Y'all pray. She said, y'all pray. And all of us, it was just so, ooh. And the next morning about, they took the catheter out. And she got in the bath, took a bath, and was ready to go home that evening. The doctor released her that day. The Holy Spirit, all of it. And when I called her, she said, Bobby, it's so good to have somebody who cares for you that around. We don't realize, like, we are being in here, how we are sitting in the midst of a blessing.
Amen.
Regardless of what's going
Amen.
On. And our, That's you know true. What, and our trials are our blessings. Trials are blessings. Because if you didn't have to, come on, trials are blessings. They're not like, and you, that's why JM was saying, to worship and to pray, we have to worship in the midst of situations. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we're in our greatest time right now. Amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. Amen.
It's ironic that she mentioned gallstones. I went to the doctor like a week ago, and he was telling me, he was looking at me like I'm crazy or something. And he say, you didn't know you had gallstones? I said, no. He said, you didn't feel nothing? No. He said, well, they ain't there no more. And God is good. It's ironic you say that.
Amen.
There is a Holy Spirit, and Jesus is alive.
I feel like I'm a baby at this again. I started years ago writing some things down as God was telling me, and I was inconsistent with it, and didn't write them down anymore, and wrote them down, and didn't write them down. But I've been more consistent with them, and just trying to listen to God, and He's shown up. And I know He's there because the presence is so sweet. There's such a sweet, peaceful presence. And then I do it in my bedroom, and there's chimes out on the back. And sometimes the chimes will just gently cling, cling, cling. Well, I was sitting there praying and talking to Him and getting ready to read my scriptures. Should have read them in the morning, but I've been reading them at night, and that's working good for me. And I began to think about, God put in my heart about the child. We've been talking about a child and how a child, she'll lead them, and child is the greatest person to God, our Heavenly Father. And so this word is for you, Father Don. And when I thought about a child, I thought about you. And then I thought about a quartz stone that's real shiny and how it has multiple points and prongs to it. And I thought one of your prongs that he has for you is this childlikeness, the way that you gently follow him. That's what God showed me, you gently follow him. And you follow him blindly. You follow him into churches in Africa where we don't know if it's safe or not. I see you follow him as you lean into worship, like, okay, Daddy, you do your thing. I'm here. You just blindly follow him. Yeah, you have other pieces of that hard quartz stone. Not that it's a weakness, it's a strength that stand up and your counselor and your leader and you give comforting words. But I saw so strongly that childlike nature of yours to just blindly go forth and do what God asks you to do. Yes. Blindly go forth and grab someone's hand like a child would grab someone's hand. Blindly go forth trusting God that he will lead you. And keep that quartz that he gave you and all those little points on that quartz. Because the biggest point on that that quartz is your childlike nature.
I have a word for Dan. I know. All right. So I was praying for you this week. And a lot of times I'll stop and wait. What do you want? What do you want me to pray for this person? Because I'll just run my mouth and pray something that's real shallow, just kind of, not like a stone that sinks deep. So, and what I kept hearing was it was the first song we sang before this service. The process in the waiting, you are making melodies over me. And the process, and I don't know if you all know this, he's been looking for work for a couple of years, 3 years, and dealing with the aftermath of appendix issues and all of that sort of thing. So I kept hearing that in the process and the waiting, you're making melodies over me. So I put that for the first song before the service, right? And we're singing it, and the system goes screechy on us. And at first I was just like, oh, that is so annoying. Why can't we have this stuff? It's got to, of course, start cutting up right now. And the Holy Spirit said, that's what the enemy's been trying to do, is trying to squeal over my song I'm singing over you. So know in all the noise and everything, he is singing a song over you.
Amen.
And Dan, what I was hearing too is the Lord is directing your steps. The Lord is directing your steps.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior.
Try to do this occasionally, and given the fact that Father Don's not sitting here, that just gives me more license to really go for it. That way I don't have to deal with the rolled eyes. So a couple of old ones. And it's uncanny what I was thinking about this in light of Deacon Robert had just a great word. As both Deacon Jason and Deacon Robert had a word as they prayed about hopefully what the Lord wants to do this morning. But remember that old little joke about the two older guys talking about, when you get older, the first thing that goes is your memory. And the first guy looks at the second guy who just said that, and he said, "So who said that?" Second guy looked at him and said, "Said what?" And the other one was a 70-year class reunion. And at this class reunion, two individuals that had been sweethearts in high school hadn't seen one another since high school. And they were boyfriend and girlfriend for a time, and at this point they're a widow and a widower. And so they got to talking, and they realized there was still a bit of a spark there. So before the end of the evening, the gentleman asked his sweetheart of over 70 years ago, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "Yes, yes, 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 I'll marry you." I thought, that's wonderful. So at any rate, evening ends, and they both go to their respective, go where they're staying. And he wakes up in the morning, and he thinks, "Oh, yikes. I know I asked her to marry me, but I don't remember if she said yes or no. I don't know what she said. I better call her and find out what it was that she said." So he calls her up and says, "Last night was a wonderful evening, and I know I asked you if you would marry me, but I'm so sorry because I can't remember if you said yes or if you said no." And she said, "Oh, I said yes, I said yes, I said yes, yes, I would marry you. But I am so, so glad you called because I couldn't remember who asked me." She's even smiling. Don't you just love Reader's Digest?
Gotta get some jokes with these young people. She didn't think you were funny.
She will someday.
So you probably won't appreciate this, but when Katie was in early high school, we were at the mall, and we were walking around, and I was just kind of kidding with her, and she was a little ways from me, and I went, "Come here." She didn't like that. And she walked over to me, and she looked at me, and she said, "Daddy, do you think you're funny?" And I said, "Yeah, some of the time I do." And with a straight face, as serious could be, because she was not happy, she said, "You're not." So I'm still kind of living through that trauma, I'm trying to regain. So I had kind of hoped to interact with you a little bit to do with the readings. And as David the other day had said, sometimes it seems like what I do is serve up a smorgasbord, and maybe that's true. But I just wanted to say a couple of things about some of the readings, and then I wanted to focus on the gospel. So Psalm 27 that was proclaimed this morning, David wrote that when he was 60 years old. And when you go back to a psalm that he wrote when he was 40 years old, which was Psalm 51. And if you remember Psalm 51 was after that whole thing had transpired with Bathsheba and Uriah, and the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him with that. And then David is crying out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, and please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And Lord, I know that you love truth in the inward parts. And I even know that in sin I was conceived, but please don't leave me." And then in Psalm 27, it's a whole different feel. It's a whole, whole different feel. About the temple of the Lord and the Lord protecting him from his enemies, and one day in your courts is more precious than 1,000 elsewhere, and wait and be of good courage, wait on the Lord. And so you see such a transition over a 20-year period. And the Lord called David a man after his own heart. And it doesn't mean that David didn't have failings. It doesn't mean that David didn't fall flat on his face several times. But in the midst of that, he kept running back to the Lord, trusting in the Lord's mercy, not in any way trying to justify any of the things that he had done, but continue to cry out to the Lord. And when we were up there and Deacon Robert was praying, he said that he felt that he was hearing a word from the Lord about don't forget. So then I felt I could tell those two little jokes, you know. So don't forget, because I'd been thinking about that. But think about the whole idea of don't forget. Don't forget everything that the Lord has said to you. Don't forget every way in which the Lord has moved in your life. Don't forget. And David, reflecting 20 years later, Psalm 27, remembering the Lord's faithfulness and telling people to remember that. Don't forget. Just simply don't forget. And that passage that from 1 Corinthians about, you know, the Lord just chooses ordinary people to manifest his tremendous power and grace and majesty. And sometimes we can look at our lives and go, so has the Lord chose me for anything? And the truth of the matter is, absolutely he has. Absolutely he has. Says we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. And so at any time, if we feel like we're just one of those little old me's, we are reminded that that's not how the Lord sees us at all. And so it's to continuing to remember what it is that he says about who we are in his word, or maybe even what it is that he has said about us through a prophetic word that we have been received. Or like Lori this morning, hearing that song played and needing to recognize that it was a prophetic voice that needed to be shared. And so we remember that and we take all of that in. And so we're reminded that there's no such a thing as a little old me, that it's recognizing who it is that we are and who it is that we are before the Lord and cherishing that and remembering that and recalling that. So when Jesus calls these disciples this morning, you know, you don't get a sense, and that's not the saying that fishermen are not very talented and are extremely bright. That's not what that means at all. But it's a fact that he was calling ordinary people to follow him. Ordinary people. People who worked with their hands, and he called them to be disciples. And then in the very midst of that, Jesus preaches this message about repent and believe in the kingdom, believe in the gospel. And then he goes about healing everyone who is in need of healing. So last Sunday, Teresa had a word. It's a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge was, and if I butcher this, let me know. But the word of knowledge was that the Lord is giving someone here a gift of healing. Remember that? Now, I know that not all of you were here last week. But do you remember that word? Okay. And I felt prompted at that moment to say, well, that word wasn't given to anyone specific, but at the same time, it was given specific. And that was to ask the question, is there anyone who would desire to have that word be for them? To do something, to recognize, to do something, to step out in faith, and to be willing to receive that word It was for you. And so I asked if you wanted to receive that, to stand up. Now, I don't know if everyone who was here, if everybody stood up, but what I was told afterwards was just about everyone stood up. That's what I was told. I don't know why I didn't remember that, but I just didn't. Just about everybody stood up, you know. That was really good, and I wasn't even trying to be, you know. I'm getting better at this. I'm getting really good at this. I got to start writing stuff down. So let's just play with that for a moment and to say that if you did stand up and say, Lord, I'm not sure that that word was specifically for me, but I'll take it. I'll take it because it wasn't directed to male or a female. It was directed to anyone. Is that correct? Okay. And so kind of going back to the whole notion that everybody gets to play. And so the Lord calls these disciples. They follow him. He preaches a message of repentance, and then he goes about healing people, setting people free. Okay, that seems to be the order of things. So we were here, we stood up. We heard an invitation to receive an anointing for healing and then to take that in and saying, I don't know if I felt anything. I don't know if I saw anything. I don't know if I heard anything. But all I know is that I asked that that would be for me. And the word tells us, Isaiah 55, that the Lord sends forth his word, accomplishing the will for which it has been sent, not to return to him void. And it says in John chapter 3, and I believe it's in verse 34, it's right in that neighborhood, that the Lord gives the Spirit without measure. Okay? So it's like looking at that and saying, so if I receive that gift of healing, did I receive like 10%, 20%, 59%? Well, how do I measure what degree of healing I received? All I know is there was a word there, and I said yes to it. And so at some point, if I'm saying yes to it, then if that's deposited in me, then I'm now a carrier of that, right? Just like a person can be a carrier of other things. I mean, we can talk about people who can be a carrier of not so good things. But in this instance, that means that potentially you're a carrier of that now, right? That resides, if you like, in your heart. That resides in your mind, your emotions. It resides in your spirit, and it has the capability of beginning to grow and to be nurtured to produce not 30, not 60, or 100-fold. Fair? It has that ability to begin to blossom with the idea of being attentive to the fact that that's something that the Lord downloaded, and I was willing to stand up and say yes to it. Jesus is walking along. He sees Simon, known as Peter, and Andrew fishing, or at least mending their nets, and he says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They said yes to that. They dropped what they were doing, and they followed him. Right? And then the next two disciples, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they're in the boat with their dad, mending the nets, and he looks at them and says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they followed him, correct? They said yes to the invitation to receive that call from him to follow him. They said yes to it. Just like people said yes last week to that word of knowledge that was given about a gift of healing. People said yes to that. And the presumption would be, if I'm saying yes to that, then whether or not I've even thought about it since that event happened. But the Lord's still very aware of that. The Lord's still very, very aware of what it was that he offered and who it was that responded. to receive that, to carry that, and to walk that out accordingly. Is that fair? Is that fair? Yeah. So as opposed to putting this heavy responsibility on anybody, it can be perceived as looking at a precious, privileged invitation to participate in the ministry of Christ. Fair? Okay. Not burdensome, because the Lord Jesus says that his yoke is not heavy and his burden is light. So it's not this heavy, burdensome thing. It's given as a privileged, precious invitation to carry. So what if all of a sudden you recognize, I'm carrying something. Maybe I already believe that I could do that, but maybe I'm carrying a bigger impartation of that now than what I was before, because I said yes to an invitation that was given. And now, by faith, I'm willing to receive that, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet necessarily seen. But it doesn't mean that it's not there. Right? Simply doesn't mean that it's not there. So how do you hear that? Is that bothersome to anybody? Is that curious? Is that okay? Exciting? Okay, so one exciting?
Remembering, I didn't have any intentions whatsoever doing what I did. But because of that prophetic word, I believe the Lord brought that prophetic word back to my remembrance. And I acted on it. I mean, the Holy Spirit was at liberty to do what he desired to do.
Great, so you acted on it. And how well did you know this individual?
Barely
knew him. So you haven't, like, gone out to coffee, you know, gone, like, on a week vacation, went camping, you guys don't, like, Snapchat. Is that right, Snapchat? Is that good? Did you like that one?
Yes,
fine. Now, how many characters can you do? Is it Twitter? You can only do so many characters. You don't know. I'm trying here, okay? You got to help me out here a little bit, okay? So you didn't know him, okay? Well, why in God's holy name would you pray for somebody you didn't know? So let me tell you something about, anybody else want to respond to any of that?
I keep hearing the word pursue it.
Pursue it, okay, we got, great. Exciting, pursue it, that whole bring to remembrance, okay? Very good.
It's great freedom because it's his, not mine.
Also, it made me think, like, how many other things has he issued an invitation for? I mean, that was one, but how many things has he invited us to join him on and that we've said yes over elect on?
And see, that really dovetails. Do you like that one? When Jesus says, repent and believe in the kingdom. And remember what repent is. It's very, very important that you don't take that word repent and you so narrow the focus to say what that's referring to is sin. See, it's much deeper than that. That's an aspect of it without question. But he doesn't say repent and therefore confess your sins. See, John's already been talking about that. Jesus says, repent and believe in the good news. And so, in that context, you can very much make a case that what Jesus is saying, You need to change your thinking. Okay, you have to change your thinking. There's a paradigm shift that needs to occur, that you begin to see and see things potentially differently, let's say from heaven's perspective, not earth's perspective. You begin to have a repentant heart, a repentant mind to be able to see things differently. So let me suggest something to you, and this is one of those potential little rabbit trails in regards to praying with people for healing. And as I have referenced before, when David Emfinger was here, and we've also talked about that whole idea of how it is that you would pray for someone, just engage them in some kind of conversation. Is there anything I can pray for you, unless it's very obvious that there's something going on? You pray for them. You ask them just to receive, not to be praying, because I just want you to be aware if there's anything going on as you're praying for them. Then ask them if anything's happening. And if there is, you pray for them again. And if there's not anything that they can be aware of, you can just bless them and thank them. They go their way. You go your way. Remember that? Knowing that it seems as though about 50% of the time when you pray for someone, they will experience something, and about 50% of the time when you pray for someone, they won't. And it might be later that day or the next day or the next day, all of a sudden they begin to realize something's happened. But they don't know you from Adam, because it's not about you and it's not about me. Right? It's just being out there in the marketplace and you're carrying that gift of healing and you're willing to take the risk because of the privileged opportunity that you have been given as a disciple of Christ to bring deliverance and healing to people in the marketplace, right? What's the value of praying for somebody that you don't know versus praying for somebody that you do know?
No agenda.
Very good. Because you think about it, what can happen is the only time if I start to engage in that idea of praying for somebody for healing, if it's a family member, if it's somebody that's a dear friend, and that's the only time I use that, here can be an issue that gets people with this gift all tangled up. That I use this gift only with somebody that I know, that I love, that's hurting. And what happens is, I oftentimes, when that happens, not always, but oftentimes you're praying from a position of sympathy and pity because you have a dog in the fight. And you get caught into it. And you are praying from a perspective of hope. Oh, I hope something happens here. Oh, I hope they're set free. Oh, I hope. And you get all tangled up with it. And you can even be adding to the problem because you're praying from a position of sympathy and pity. Now, that's something that you're going to have to take and run around on your heads a little bit and to see if there's honestly any truth in that. Because, see, the value of praying for somebody that you don't know and learning to practice that is you don't have a dog in the fight. It doesn't mean that you don't care for them. But you don't know who they are. You don't know their background. You don't know their story. You don't know what happened to get them to that place. And where you're acting out of now is out of compassion. It says that Jesus saw the crowd and had compassion for them. Not pity, not sympathy. They're not synonymous terms. Not in this context. He had compassion for them. And when you have compassion, you pray not from a place of hope, but from a place of expectancy. They are very, very different. If you're coming from a place of expectancy, that all of a sudden you're beginning to step out there and you're starting to see some fruit being manifest and released as you pray for someone, somebody that you don't know, and they can start to have a sense of something and you're thinking, this works, the Lord's using this. And all of a sudden, I'm not all tied up into that. And then I can take that with people that I do know and have love for, and I can say, I don't want to pray from you from this thing. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I pray something happens here, as opposed to Pray from a place of expectancy, not from this place of hope. Oh, I just hope, I just hope, I just hope. Because you get all tangled up into it. Because now it's about you in connection to them as opposed to him in connection to them. Because it never was about you. It never, ever was about you. It was always about him releasing his grace through you to touch that situation. Whether it's somebody that you know or somebody that you don't know, but you're using the same process in which you're doing it. Does that make sense to you? To the throne of grace.
If I said it right, or if I've got, they're saying, oh, you can't pray any better than that, or I prayed for you harder than that last time, and you just not praying like this for me. But sometimes when there's, you don't know that person, there's just such freedom to open up and to connect with the Lord, to connect with the person you're praying for. The boundaries that you put yourself in, those walls go down, and you're just free to just to intercede and to go before God for the person.
So what if I were to target you specifically in light of what you just said, and you took ownership of that, and all of a sudden you recognized, and let's just say for the sake of argument, that nobody else here did. Nobody else just had that revelation insight that you just had. And you may look at it and say, I don't know if it's a revelation or insight. But let's just say for the sake of argument, all of a sudden you can say, I just realized something. Now, you didn't say it that way. I just realized something. I just got freed up. I just got freed up. In other words, I don't have to sit there and go, you know, is it going to be the right thing, the right prayer, the right intention? You know, is this God's will? Is it not his will? Well, where did I get caught up in all that in the first place? Right? Get caught up in all of that stuff that's going on. As opposed to saying, God, give me compassion for your people. Give me compassion for your people. That when you call me to follow you, I do have a responsibility to disciple for people to repent and believe the good news. But I also have the privilege of walking into situations, even with people that I do not know, with no agenda, and with freely being able to recognize what I have freely been given, I have been told to freely give. Right? Isn't that what he said? You've been freely been given this, so freely give it out. Because when you think in the gospel today, where it said that all these people that were brought to Jesus were healed and Jesus is training the disciples, can we presume that they didn't know every single one of them personally? They didn't know every one of them personally. It was all the people that were sick in all surrounding areas that were brought. And we're like, before I pray for you, I got to spend time with you. I've got to get to know you. We need to go to coffee and dinner and get, you know, a relationship before I can do anything here. Well, there ain't no time. It's being able to take what apparently the Lord wanted to give last Sunday and say, guess what? It's time. I don't know if that's the new era. It's time to go out into a hurting world. It's time to go into the marketplace. It's time to all of a sudden, instead of looking at people that you're around all the time, to say, Lord, are you giving me compassion for people everywhere? Not only family or friends or coworkers, but you're giving me compassion, and all of a sudden I'm beginning to see this world from your perspective and no longer from mine. And all of a sudden I just got freed up to where I can die to the fear of man that I might make a mistake and just drop that. Because it's not about you anyway.
And you all were praying upon the altar,
and he asked me if they would pray for him. And I said, oh, yes, of course they will. But then he said, but I don't want to tell them why. I don't want to reveal what I need prayer for. And so after a few minutes, I thought, well, there was a long line. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And I knew that I was just completely and utterly dependent on God because I didn't know.
You're kidding.
Anything.
You were dependent upon God? I mean, we've got a problem here. We've got somebody who's going to pray for someone, and they're actually depending on God.
That's what struck me about what you were saying, was that if you don't know them, you're completely...
And see, that's an area to be able to say, remember Bishop Jones saying, Lord, pitch him where I can hit him. And then he began to say, Lord, pitch him to where I really got to be focused to hit him. And see, in that way, it's kind of like looking, Lord, wow. Are you bringing us to the point of being able to say, I can pray for someone and I don't have the foggiest idea what's going on, but I'm just going to start praying and trust that what you give, and then the person has to discern that whether or not that's valid. Because it's all about him. And he's kind of saying, will you embrace this as a child and recognize you don't have all the answers? And remember, I've said over and over and over again, God knows everything you know. And God knows everything you don't know. And God knows everything that you think you know. Okay? And what you think you know, you may not know as much as you think you know. And God knows that. So on Tuesday, there was this. And remember Tuesday? Remember how cold it was on Tuesday? At least I remember how cold it was on Tuesday. So in light of one of those testimonies, I just wanted to share a couple of testimonies real quick. We're standing right here as a food pantry, and there was a gentleman. There was three men standing here. And it's interesting that for the longest time, we were praying mostly for women. Now we're praying more and more for men. I think a lot of the men were just kind of watching what's going on, like checking this out. I'm not so sure. So this guy comes up for prayer, and as he's standing there, he's kind of whimpering, and he starts to cry, and he says some stuff that's going on. And there were three people that were praying for him, and we asked him, did you receive communion? And he said, yes. And I said, do you know you have the body and blood of Christ flowing through you right now? Body and blood of Christ is flowing through you right now. So there's a couple of passages that I've committed to memory that have to do with the blood of Jesus. And I said, I just want you to repeat after me. So I said some of these verses, and he began to repeat them. And all of a sudden, there was these beads of sweat all over him. I mean, he was sweating to high heaven. And his voice changed. Uncanny. His voice changed. All of a sudden, it was no longer this whimpering. It came, it was strong and grounded and solid. And his voice changed. And we said, so what's going on? How are you doing? And he says, really good. I feel incredibly warm. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're sweating like a stuck pig, you know? And he was just blown away by the whole thing. I can look at that and say, I don't know everything that was happening, but I can tell you this, he was getting set free. There was a manifestation of demonic presence. Pew, that left. Next guy right behind him standing there, and he says, I've got a pain here, and I've got a pain back here, and it's really intense. And we asked how long it's been going on. He said, it basically just started, and started praying for him, and he says, it's moving. You know what that is? Spirit of infirmity or something like that, right? It's just moving. It's just moving. It's moving around. Praying for him, and he says, it's going. You know, and he's trying to figure this out, and all of a sudden, it's like, it's all gone. And there was this deep peace. And you can look at all that and kind of go, I don't know how that works, but I know why it works. I have no idea how it works, but I know why it works. Jesus calls him, and last Sunday, he gave a gift of healing to everyone who said yes. And you have a tremendous gift of privilege to be able to say, God, can we take this out for a spin? Can we take this out for a spin and try this to where I can be more intentional about having compassion in situations that you may want to use me, in particular with people that I do not know? How are we doing? I got one thumbs up. So just take that and just run that around in your head and your experience. Pray about that. See if that resonates. For anyone who wasn't here last Sunday, I do not want to be presumptuous before the Lord because I do not want to touch His glory. But I would say this to you. If there's anyone who wasn't here and would pray that the Lord might give you that gift, do you think that would be okay to ask the Father to release that in you? Do you think that would be okay to ask the Lord to release that in you even more? To increase it? And you may have particular gifts and talents and abilities that you feel that the Lord has given to you, and He can increase those as well. But all I know is that's what He said last Sunday. That's the reason I'm going after this, is because that's what He said. It's not what I said. It's what He said. If that's what He said, then it would behoove me to want to pay attention to what He said and to say, okay, if that's what you are wanting to do, like it says in Isaiah, who shall we send? Lord, here am I. Send me.
Mark, you might not remember, but the moment Teresa said that, that Saturday night was my prayer. I prayed that all night, just what she said.
So what if the Lord answered his prayer for our behalf? What if he'd been praying for that and the Lord downloaded that in Teresa so he would get the confirmation? He prayed the prayer. She got the word of knowledge to confirm a prayer that he had prayed that was given to her to give to us. That gives me chills. He prayed. She got it. She released it. We heard it. We said yes. And we need one another. Because we work. That's how the body works. That's how it works. That's how it works. He prayed. She got it. I don't know for that for an absolute fact, but that's what I'm hearing. Right? That's what I'm hearing. Okay. Teresa? Got to talk loud.
He's stepping it up a notch. There's somebody in here who needs to be an evangelist or evangelizing, whatever term you want to call it, which is basically leading folks to Christ. And you've been sitting on it, and you've been pondering it, and you've been hemming and hawing about it, and it's time for you to get up and do it.
Okay. Thanks, Teresa. Really? Very cool. So as we move on from here, I would just encourage you, if you're going to receive communion today, is to tug on heaven. Okay? To tug on heaven today. To ask the Lord, if there's any healing in your life that you want, healing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, because that's what the Lord did in the gospel today, right? Everyone that was brought to him was healed, and he also released that into the disciples. So to be able to pray, if there's anything that you desire for the Lord to do in your life. Secondly, if there's any gifts that you would have the Lord, you pray that he would release release in you for his honor and glory and for your upbuilding and salvation. And thirdly, that he would give you compassion. Compassion for people. Compassion for them to see them as he sees them. Amen? Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you.